State your name and prison number.
Tyler Graham. Number 268-417.
Your age?
43.
The charges on which you were convicted?
Misappropriation of public funds. Malfeasance in office.
And the sentence now being served?
10 years.
Proceed.
Having served 3 years and 6 months of my sentence, and having the permission of the warden, I'm now up for parole.
Tonight, another in the exciting new series of crime stories based on authentic cases actually heard by parole boards in our state prisons, reenacted here for the first time. Now, Harry Marble.
You are about to sit in judgment on another human being's freedom. To decide whether he shall become your neighbor, your employee, perhaps your friend, or whether he shall remain where you, behind prison bars. For that human being is a social offender, a criminal, now up for parole. The story you are about to hear is taken from the official records of Tyler Graham, prison number 268-417. Now pleading before the parole board and before you for his freedom.
I want to say, gentlemen, that after serving 3.5 years of my prison sentence, I'm very grateful to you and to Warden Spencer for allowing me to appear before you.
A public official who violated his trust, misused public funds, accepted bribes and graft, Tyler Graham. Your name is familiar to us, Mr. Graham.
I was afraid it would be, sir.
You were the mayor of Wickfield.
That is correct.
Voted into office by the people of Wickfield.
3 times.
You promised to work hard in their interest.
Yes, sir.
And they trusted you.
Of course.
Why do you say of course?
Well, I think I was the sort of man that any constituency would be willing to trust, sir. I came from a good family. I was well educated at the university. Everything about my background indicated that I'd be honest and dependable and conscientious.
But you weren't.
No, sir.
And you cheated the people.
Yes, sir.
And yet you think you deserve parole?
That's not for me to say, sir.
A politician's answer, Mr. Graham.
All right, then. I think I do deserve parole.
Oh, that's better. You see, Mr. Graham, we on this board don't care to see prisoners adopting some pose or other that they think we'll fall for. Your case, we don't intend to be fooled the way the people of Wickfield were fooled by your engaging manner and your good background. We're public officials ourselves, and we're appalled at any other public official who dares violate his trust. Thousands of municipal officers, from mayor to poundkeeper, are honest and hardworking. You are not. We want to know why.
Well, I guess I have a lot of explaining to do, sir.
I guess you have, Mr. Graham.
May I start anywhere I please?
Anywhere.
All right, it's... Well, it's difficult, sir. I've been thinking of this moment for a long time, when I'd be here before you gentlemen, pleading for parole. I've decided to start by telling you about something that I never was caught at. But it's the worst thing I ever did. Before I went into politics, this was when I was vice president of the Third National Bank of Wickfield.
Your father-in-law's bank?
Yes, sir. When I married Ellen Webster, old Mr. Webster gave me a job in his bank. That was about 15 years ago, shortly after I'd graduated from the university. And then I gave my brother Ned a job, after I'd been made vice president, that was. Ned took over the trust department. I'm ashamed, sir, but... Well, I used my brother. I'm sorry, sir. I'm very nervous. I've never told this to anyone before.
We can understand your nervousness. Go ahead.
You You remember the bank holiday right after Roosevelt got in 33? Well, it was very sudden, and the bank closed like all the other banks. And the examiners were swarming all over us before we could make a move. Well, on the third day, toward evening it was, I went to my brother Ned's apartment.
Thank God it's only you, Ty. Come in quick.
Mr. Webster come yet, Ned?
No. Is he coming?
Yes.
The examiner's got to my department yet?
This afternoon.
Mr. Webster know yet?
Yes, he knows, Ned. I had to tell him.
All about it?
Everything.
Ty, I'm skipping out.
No, you're not.
I can't stay, Ty. They'll be after me. They'll be after all
Mr.
of us.
Mr. Webster said he was coming here. He wanted me here, too. You'll stay.
But Ty,
Stop
I can't...
Stop babbling that way. If you left, they'd catch you. Besides, you've got to remember that I'm married to Ellen Webster. You may as well wait and hear what Mr. Webster had to say, Ned. He certainly won't want to disgrace me.
Ty, why did we do it?
You'll stay?
Why did we do it? Why?
How much were you making?
$85 a week.
How much was I making?
$10,000 a year.
That's why we did it.
That's what you said before. That's how you got me to do it. Well, we were wrong, Ty, wrong.
Shut up. I ought to beat you up for talking this way.
You're supposed to be the realistic brother. Why, you're so afraid to face a fact, you...
Quiet. That's Mr. Webster. Now get a grip on yourself.
Here, Tyler.
Yes, Mr. Webster. Come in.
Hello, Ned, my boy.
Hello.
Well?
Well, what?
You haven't told him, Tyler.
Let you know about the shortage to the bank? He's told me.
The examiners don't know everything yet. They're digging. They'll work all night. They'll know by morning.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Nothing. I'm not going to preach, either. I want you to know, Ned, that after you come out of prison...
Prison?
After you come out of prison, I'll set you up in an insurance business, or any kind of business you say. I'll set you up in a town where I have good connections. In Ohio, nobody there will know you.
Prison?
You can't expect anything else.
What about Ty?
Tyler is my son-in-law.
Well, the police won't care about that.
I love my daughter. I do not want her to be hurt ever. I can't permit her husband to be sent to prison.
But, Tyler, the records at the bank...
The records at the bank don't implicate me, Ned. I never signed any of those vouchers you gave me.
You... All along you had it fixed so that nothing could ever happen to you, Ty. Yeah, that's like
you. Look, Ned. I wouldn't ask you to string along with Mr. Webster's plan, only... Well, look, fella, you know the good government crowd is going to put me up for mayor this year. And that'll only be a start, Ned. I can go on. Maybe be governor.
You don't have to sell me, Ty. You fixed it so I have no choice anyhow.
Ned, I'll never forget this.
You'll excuse me if I go into the bedroom. I think I'm going to be sick.
And so you let your own brother go to jail.
That's correct, sir.
And though he was your brother, you never let him know that your father-in-law had been in on this whole thing from the beginning?
That's correct, sir.
You've never been indicted for robbing the depositors of the Third National Bank, Mr. Graham?
No, sir.
You still could be, you know.
I know that, sir.
Then why'd you tell us?
I think I told you. You see, it's hard for a man to understand his own motives, but... I think I told you because... Well, because I've reached the point where I must confess this. It's the worst thing I've ever done in my life. I can't live with it any longer.
You think that's why you told us?
Yes, sir. There's always a chance that I figured a confession like this would make a good impression on you members of the parole board.
No other reason you can think of?
No, sir.
Your brother is on parole now?
That's correct.
Has he visited you in prison?
A few times.
Has he told you about being before the parole board?
Well, I don't know. He might have mentioned it.
And did he mention that he told us about your part in robbing the depositors?
No, sir.
He never told you that we know all about it?
No, sir.
And that it'd be smart for you to confess to us?
No. I swear to you that Wynette hasn't visited me for...
Never mind. You may be trying to fool us. Or you may not be trying to fool us. We don't know yet. Do you care to go on?
Yes, sir. The people of Wickfield elected me mayor that same year. It didn't hurt me that Ned had been sent to prison because, well, when the opposition tried to make capital of it, I talked to the voters about it. I told them that Ned was a weak young man who'd been tempted. I told him I loved my brother, but that I knew he had to pay for what he'd done, and, well, anyway, they elected me. And in the months that followed,
You served yourself instead of the people.
Yes. No one knew that first term. No one guessed. Except one person. Ellen, my wife.
Ty, Edith Fowler came here to see me today.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. She's worried about her husband, Ty.
Why?
His term runs out next week, you know.
Oh, that's so. I don't keep track of
it. He's been Public Works Commissioner for 9 years, Ty.
I know.
He's been very good for this city. He's been honest. They still live in the same house they rented when he was first appointed. He's been hardworking and fair.
Hey, what is this, Ellen? A campaign speech?
Edith is afraid you're not going to reappoint him.
Now, look, Ellen.
Are you?
Ellen, I honestly don't know. Politics isn't what you think, darling. It's what the party leaders think.
You're the mayor, Ty. What do you think?
Look, darling, I don't have anything against Jim Fowler. I suppose I'll reappoint him. I don't know. We're going to have a meeting about appointments tomorrow night, your father and Jack Swayze and I. We'll decide then, but it won't be entirely my decision.
Why not?
Politics, baby, politics.
Well, that's it, Tyler.
Yeah, yes, sir.
That's it, Mr. Webster.
I think so, too.
We've got the welfare commissioners taken care of, police department. All those men will play ball. Now about license commissioner and public works commissioner.
Licenses are too juicy to let go. We've got to fire Belden.
Right, you want the job, Jack?
I'd better stay undercover. I don't smell too sweet. I'll give it to Milt Thompson or Greg Everett.
Everett, he'll take a smaller split. How about... Public Works.
Well, I couldn't get to Jim Fowler at all. But I'd recommend leaving him in office.
Absolutely. The people like him too much. We can't buck their sentiment. Fowler stays.
No, gentlemen. Fowler goes.
Oh,
what? Fowler goes. Don't you realize that Public Works is what interested me in being mayor in the first place? Public Works. You repair a highway and rent a new safe deposit box. You build a bridge and you got a summer home. Put a new roof on City Hall and you got a new car.
Fowler's popular, Tyler.
So a job's popular. We can put every unemployed worker to work on the biggest public works program this city's ever seen. By next election, you watch. By next election, the people will forget all about Fowler. Fowler goes.
We will return to our file in just a moment, but first, for warm-hearted comedy with the laughter coming from incidents that could happen and probably have happened in your family, CBS invites you to join the Goldbergs on most of these same stations on Saturday nights. Molly, Jake, and young Sammy and Rosalie meet with the problems that beset all American families. Join the Goldbergs this Saturday and every Saturday on CBS and laugh along with them. Back to the true story of Tyler Graham, prison case number 268-417, the man who is up for parole.
So, gentlemen, I was well launched on my career as mayor of Wickfield.
Graham, how did your wife take your behavior?
Not good, but, Ellen and I settled into a habit of not mentioning what I was doing.
And what were you doing?
I was robbing the public.
How?
I gave them jobs and picked their pockets. In 3 terms as mayor, I tore down one bridge and built 2 in its place. I rebuilt all the roads in Greater Wickfield. I built a courthouse, a hospital, 3 new school buildings. The contractors had to pay for the jobs in the first place, and the subcontractors gave half the profits to the fund.
The fund?
That's what we call the unofficial corporation we had. Jack Swayze, Mr. Webster, and I. We couldn't put all the money into our pockets directly. We We had to have a pool on hand to buy people off when they got too nosy.
But of course you did take money for yourselves out of this fund.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Vast sums.
All right, proceed.
Well, in my first term in office, I built a beautiful new house in the Woodlawn section. During my second term, I bought all the land around my house and had 46 acres completely landscaped. Ellen said nothing. But Ellen would have nothing to do with planning any of this.
Why did she stay with you?
She was a woman.
In love?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I hope so.
Proceed.
Well, when I ran for a fourth term, I suddenly found that I had a fight on my hands. Fred Campbell was running against me on a reform ticket. And if I came from the sort of background people thought they could trust, well, so did he. One night I came home from a rally, and as I entered our living room, Ellen quickly snapped off the radio. I went to her and kissed her.
Don't do that, please, Ty.
Well, Ellen, what's the matter?
I don't want to be kissed.
Oh, look, darling, I'm tired.
I know.
And you can't kiss me?
I don't want to, Ty.
Ellen, what's come between us? What is it?
Don't ask me to explain, Ty. You're the one who has to explain. Tell me why you bought this house. Tell me why you had the landscape architects make that vulgar garden out there. How much did it cost, Ty? A year's salary? Look at this furniture. This genteel, tasteful, beautiful, expensive period furniture. What bought it, Ty? Dimes collected from number pool operators.
Oh, Ellen.
Don't leave me alone.
No, Ellen, listen. Listen, this has been coming for a long time. You've asked for explanations, dear. You're going to get them.
All right.
It's a jungle, Ellen. The world is a jungle. I didn't make it that way. I didn't ask for it to be that way. It just is. We can be little scared animals in the jungle, or we can be kings. We weren't raised to grub along on a few dollars a week, Ellen, to have our hats in our hands, to bow down to people who can make or break us with a word, to be afraid of bills and layoffs and falling out of favor with some boss. Maybe you don't like it, what I've been doing. But neither would you like to live on $50 a week.
You're just following the law of self-preservation?
Exactly.
Well, you're not very good at it, Ty. Do you know what I was doing before you came in?
What?
Listening to the radio. To the man I'm going to vote for. Your opponent, Ty. Listen.
May not believe it, but they'll discover it's not idle talk. When I'm elected, I'll force an investigation of the License Commission. When I'm elected, I'll force investigation of the Public Works Program. When I'm elected, I'll bring to the district attorney detailed information about where Mayor Graham gets the money to live as well as he does. And I'll force prosecution.
Oh, turn it off.
When I'm elected...
Trouble is, he isn't going to be elected.
But he was elected, as you gentlemen know. He was elected, and he followed through on his promises. His special investigating commission dug up the facts about my administration. You gentlemen know all this. And while Mr. Webster got off scot-free, I was indicted along with the six former officials, and we were convicted. But I got out on bail pending appeal, and I waited. Then one night, Jack Swayze called me on the phone. Hello?
Hi. Jack Swayze.
Yes, Jack.
I finally got to a courthouse attendant. Gave him 50.
And?
Decision tomorrow.
And?
Appeal denied.
I see. Thanks, Jack.
What was it, Ty? Ty, what was it?
I've got to get out of here, Ellen, tonight.
The decision's gone against you.
Look, darling, there's no need of saying this isn't serious, because it is. I don't know when I'll see you again. I don't know, Ellen,
but... Ty. Stay.
It's a 10-year sentence.
Stay.
Ellen, look, I haven't got time to go into all the reasons why I shouldn't stay. You ought to be able to figure out for yourself. Now, listen to me, darling. I love you. I want you to know I love you. And I'm going to send for you. I don't know when. Stay here. Stay in Wickfield. Wait to hear from me. I'll send for you when I've made a good start somewhere else. So I left Wickfield and I wandered. I had money with me, but it didn't do me much good. I traveled by bus and by day coach, and I stopped after the first month or so, that is. I stopped in small towns and visited the Board of Trade or the Chamber of Commerce looking for business opportunities. But I couldn't give any references, so it was no go. Then, one night, I was waiting on a bench in a railroad station. Someone stole my bag. Most of my money was in it. I had $7 in my pocket when I went into the little periodical store near the station the next morning.
What'll it be, mister?
Could you tell me which paper has the best want ads?
Oh, job hunting.
Yes.
Can you make change?
Hmm? Why, I guess so.
If I gave you a dollar bill for a 68-cent item, what'd you give me back? Quick.
32 cents.
Huh. You got a job. What's your name?
Tyler Bartlett.
I'm Marge McVeigh. You get 30 a week. You get rent free in a little room I got back at the store. You open up at 7. I get here at 7:30. You help around here all day. I leave at 5. You lock up and sweep up. Come on, I'll show you your room.
Wait a minute. You mean that I'll be here alone all night? You trust me with the stock and everything?
Mister, go ahead and steal anything you want to. Clean me out. All you'll get is some property. God help you. And you'll have to run and hide and look back over your shoulder. I'll still be me. I'll still have frame. Come on. Let's go look at your room.
She was an amazing woman, Marge McVeigh. I stayed there over a year at $30 a week. I couldn't have said why, not then. Marge could have. And she told me one evening when I was sweeping up.
Hey, A lot of energy tonight.
That's right.
It's going somewhere.
You bet. Bowling.
Changed your mind, ain't you? Changed your mind. You found out a little job and a little salary ain't so bad, right?
Wrong, Marge. I'm going to leave you some one of these days.
Not you. You found out things.
You think so?
You found out you're happier this way. You found out how to laugh. You found out the big boys with the big jobs have the big worries. Yeah, you found out it's fun bowling, and it's no fun scheming and worrying and cheating on your income tax.
Have I? Have I?
Sure you have. Why else are you here? Think it over.
Well, what happened after that was bound to happen. After all, the store was near the railroad station. Marge and I were opening a packing case in the back of the store when a traveler came in. I started to go wait on him, but then I recognized him. Charlie Lamson from Wickfield. I ducked back to the packing case.
Go ahead. Wait on the guy.
No.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I'll open this case. You go ahead and wait on him.
You know him?
No, he's a stranger.
Oh, you do know him.
Of course not.
Okay. I'd hate to have to live looking over my shoulder. You open the case. I'll wait on him.
No, Marge, wait. I'll take it.
Nice going, Tyler.
Hello, Charlie. Long time no see.
So, Graham, you gave yourself up.
Not exactly, sir. I just let Charlie see me, and he took it from there. I almost ran away before the police got there. But I stayed.
And now you feel that you should have a parole?
In a way, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess I can put it this way. I'm not asking for parole for Tyler Graham, who robbed the people of Wickfield. I'm asking for Tyler Bartlett. You see, I learned, while I was Tyler Bartlett, that a pushing life, a life of ruthless striving, the very emptiest kind of a life there is. I don't know whether I can live up to my new idea, but I'd like a chance to try.
In Wickfield?
In Wickfield. While I was away, Ellen started a little real estate business. I'd like to go help her run it. I'd like to keep it little, too. I hope I'll have the self-control.
Mr. Graham, the board will decide your case now. Step outside with the guard.
While Tyler Graham waits, and the parole board reviews his story and his parole file, you have a decision to make on his case. Weigh Tyler Graham's story carefully before you form your judgment, because in a moment, you will have an opportunity to compare your decision with that of the actual board before which he appeared.
It started as a simple routing report to headquarters by a patrolman on a beat. It ended up as an all-out manhunt. That's the exciting Case of the Shallow Trail, which gangbusters will dramatize from real life this Saturday on most of these same CBS stations. The narrator will be the Commissioner of Public Safety of Yonkers, New York, who directed the manhunt. Be listening when, this Saturday, Gangbusters brings you The Case of the Shallow Trail on CBS. Now, the decision of the parole board in the case of Tyler Graham, prison number 268-417. The man who is up for parole.
Mr. Graham?
Yes, sir.
The board has considered your case. We feel there is nothing in your criminal record that makes you merit parole. Quite the reverse. But there are other considerations. One is the fact that you told us about embezzling money from the bank. One is that you did show yourself to the man from Wickfield when you didn't have to. And that you did wait for the police to come for you when you might have run away a second time. One is your very evident sincerity in your profession of a new philosophy. But the most important, in a way, is your humility. You do not guarantee that you will reform. You say you know you ought to, and you hope you will have the strength to. That humility, we believe, will give you the strength that you need. Parole granted. Good luck. Next case.
Today, Tyler Graham may be on your bowling team, or he may be the man who rented you your summer cottage, or he is back in Wickfield with his wife, Ellen, running a small real estate business. It's an interesting fact that after he served his minimum prison sentence and was let out on parole, Tyler Graham returned to the town of Wickfield. And the community, which he formerly served with dishonesty and deceit, accepted him with forgiveness and understanding. His record since he left prison has justified the judgment of the parole board when he was up for parole.
You have been listening to Up for Parole with Paul McGrath as Tyler Graham, written by Robert Sanadella, and produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. Research by Wally Gould. Music was under the direction of Harry Salter. Listen again at this same time next week when CBS will bring you the actual story of prison case number SQ201-37. Up for parole. This is CBS, where Arthur Godfrey's digest of wit and humor is heard every Saturday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Thank you.